All right, I'd like to call the meeting to order. Can you please do the roll call?
Mrs. Bennett?
Present.
Mr. Birch?
Present.
Mrs. Stats?
Present.
Mr. Yule?
Present.
Mrs. Webble?
Present.
Moving on to item two, public participation. Is there anybody that would like to participate? I'm seeing none. We're going to move on to the agenda. Is there any additions or corrections to the agenda? Seeing none, can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Can you please call the roll?
Mrs. Bennett?
Present.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
All right, motion is approved 5-0. Moving on to board business committee reports. Start with community engagement.
Okay, I'll just report out the Panther preview is scheduled for Saturday, August 6th. We are going to start meeting. The 31st, May 31st at 6 o'clock in High School Room 113. If anyone would like to be involved in the planning and preparation for that, we would really appreciate it. It's going to be more like an all-day event involving soccer, football, of course, and Dana will be here with a special presentation involving the Curtis family. And we hope to have more food because last year we ran out of food in the food trucks. So, that's all I have from community engagement.
What time? That May 5th?
Well.
Or May 31st, I'm sorry.
August 6th.
No, she said there's a
May
meeting.
May 31st.
At 6.
6.
Yes, is the meeting. And then Saturday, August 6th, is the Panther preview. So.
Can I talk about a few more things with that?
Yes.
So absolutely. As part of community engagement, and the Curtis is being there that night, so we will dedicate the press box, and we will dedicate the plaques that are going up in honor of Don. And that night will be the first night that our signage will be illuminated on the high school campus. So I think it'll be a pretty cool night for that to come on. And I hope that the board likes it. I think it's gonna do something really special for that campus. We also had our first Hall of Fame meeting, which we're considering an important part of community engagement. We have the dates of Friday, September 9th for the football game introductions, and Saturday, September 10th for the luncheon and induction. So you can write those dates down if you're interested. Our next step is just to get through the list of potential inductees, iron that out. We'll be in a little bit of a more of a rush this year because it's about a month sooner, but we're all set and ready to go. I think, Cindy, if you can say something if you want to, I think the committee was really happy with the event last year, so we're not planning on changing too much. You think that's pretty accurate?
Yes.
I did find out that Ray Horner is not available that day.
Oh.
So he has a Hiram football game, so we'll look for another MC to read through those things. Do you want to talk about the Panther run at all?
Oh, as part yes. Of community oh, my
engagement?
Gosh. This Saturday, you can still sign up at active.com, but it's going to be a great event. We have another meeting tomorrow night, just kind of a last meeting to pull everything together, but we've got a lot of sponsors. I don't have a number as to how many have signed up, but I think we're on a good roll here with it. The first event starts at 9, I believe, but you should be there like no later than 8:30. You pick up your packets Friday night at the high school, I think starting at 5. I know. I'm looking at you, Angie, because I know you're signed up for it. But
are you winning your
I haven't received
group?
An email yet of when to
oh,
pick them up.
Oh, you haven't? Mm-mm. You know what? I'll ask Mr. Harrington.
You going to win your group, whatever age group you're running in?
I'll see. We'll see what happens.
I know how competitive you are. You want the victory that
I
day.
I can't because Ryan's in my age group this year.
Trip him.
That's on.
Wait a second.
Oh, sorry.
Just because you're on your way out. Doesn't
I know. I need to behave.
Is Ryan still doing his challenge with the kids?
He is. Ryan's doing his challenge with the kids and exams.
So that doesn't do me well.
No.
Where do you pick up the packets?
At the high school.
Yeah, the big building. Is it in the commons?
Usually in the commons, yeah. I'm texting Rob, so he'll let me know.
He might be in a game right now.
And I do have one other quick thing for community engagement. Okay, so we started a group in November in district called SEAT. It's Staff Engagement Advisory Team. And it was really culture climate stuff for the employees of Norton High School. Jenny Richards and Karen Kaser did a video about, you know, we talked about building an infectious culture where everyone loved to come to work, which is ambitious. But this has led to some in-building things that are occurring to, you know, have fun when you're at work and enjoy the experience and love coming here. And all of them have great ideas. The middle school and like NES and Aaron Fulton and the team at NES, they've taken off with staff engagement and advisory. They have five or six things going on just to build climate amongst employees. The high school, Lori Bryant is leading that along with Megan Sauer. And Lori started an Employee of the Month program where students nominate employees of the month. And so they got an Employee of the Month parking spot, which took away my visitor spot. They kept the technology parking spot for Angie, but as they should, as they should.
It's only because we carry stuff.
Yes, that's true. But the best part of Lori's idea in doing that for culture and climate is she also got, she got an Employee of the Month t-shirt, but she got Employee of the Month runner-up t-shirt, which Ryan Shaner is going to wear on the day that Employee of the Month is named. So it's kind of a cute little fun climate culture thing. Anyways, that team is doing a great job, and Denny's on that team, Tricia Snowden's on that team. That team wants to keep going. And so Denny and I are encouraging that team to take over the We Roar Together stuff, because the district, in my mind, the district cannot let We Roar Together stop. It's pretty powerful right now. It's pretty strong. Our kids know about it. You know, I just posted, I was at NES the other day and they were doing chalk, and three different kids wrote We Roar Together with their sidewalk chalk. And so that tells me that the district has something that the kids know. And so we meet on the 19th, and I'm going to ask that group to, they may be the ones that meet with Fred Martin and just keep that whole thing going, that type of thing. And we also met, what led to some signage? What discussions led to some signage? Where were we? Oh, it was an agenda preview.
Yeah,
it wasn't a committee. So Nick is looking at
It was Athletic Council.
Athletic Council. Yeah. Yes, you're right. Athletic Council. So we are looking, and Cindy will remember the You're in Panther Country sign on 224.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You remember it. So we're looking at bringing that back right at the high school entrance. So when you're driving by on Cleveland Massillon, you can still see it. But when you pull in, you know, you can see You're in Panther Country. And then we also talked about signage at all of the corridors. Says something about welcome to Panther Country. So Nick is working on all of those.
So are we looking at vinyl or some?
I told him it needed to be an outdoor.
Like a permanent type thing.
Yeah. Now, though, You're in Panther Country was a billboard. Yeah. It was a big boy. So I don't know what Nick's going to come up with.
Okay. We also talked about signage on the outside of our gymnasiums, the stadium, about conduct.
Okay.
Yes.
There's one there. Maybe
that's
not conduct. What?
Yeah, I mean.
All I remember is there's no seats.
It's about, well, it was about stay, like, not parents, fans.
Yeah.
Oh, fans, okay.
We're having a hard time getting referees.
Pardon?
The issue was that we have a difficult time finding referees.
Oh, okay.
People don't want to become referees because parents don't act appropriately, and we want to empower and put it out there to make it easier, hopefully, to make people leave if they're inappropriate.
Yeah.
All right, that's all I had. But SEAT is a really good organization that's tied into community engagement with We Roar Together.
So if that's something that is going to continue on, what do you think of having a meeting with these individuals and Fred Martin and you before you are finished?
I think Ashley would welcome that. She's Fred Martin for us, and she appreciates the district, so I think that she would welcome that.
Okay.
I think what's going to happen is, I think Denny's going to, Denny really likes the group. He likes the group of educators that are in there. He loves the idea. So that's one thing I think that he's going to kind of take on a little bit. And
okay.
He's really good at those things.
Kelly will be so excited to do more shirts.
She will. Yeah, well, it's in her job description. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Technology and instruction.
I do have a few things. One item is we wanted to make a couple of changes to the Chromebook agreement. I know Mr. Addis had forwarded this to you. One of the things that is Jackie Fleckler and I were going through the process of this, of what's going to happen over the summer or come in the fall when parents are filling out final forms and they're signing off on the agreement to these items. One thing that we felt that we should really make evident on here is that there is that $30 insurance and monitoring charge. Because the goal is that parents would obviously, when they're signing off on this, they come to a forms day or a freshman orientation, and they take care of their other fees. That is when they also take care of the insurance and monitoring charge. So we kind of moved one of the sections of the form up that was related to that and added a little bit of language there. So just wanted to, you know, make sure everyone was aware of that and that there wasn't any more surprises.
Can I talk about that for just a second?
Sure.
Go ahead, Lewis.
I was just going to ask a question. So this is something that the district, which is a great thing, is providing our students. What happens if you have a family that says, I'm not asking for it, you're providing for the $30?
Well, we understand that they're not asking for it. However, it's important that students have access, and they need this device that's school managed so that when we do testing or when we're going into certain applications or doing the monitoring with the guardian, that they have this device in order to use it. So it's like a textbook. It's access to the curriculum. So,
right.
I hear that and I get that, but that's why they need it.
I will also say it's been a challenge for Angie personally in equipment repair and people being responsible that they damage the equipment. I would say it's probably been some of your most challenging moments.
Mm-hmm,
is that, and we have great families here. They're so great and so supportive, but she's had some tough conversations where we sort of knew this was where it happened and there was no accountability when we loaned out the Chromebooks before, when we did it in an emergency, and now this kind of helps us out.
And that handbook, that goes along with this maps out, you know, it's coverage, it's unlimited for the year, unlimited repairs with the exception of, don't want to sound gross, but bodily fluids, if it's lost or stolen, or it's intentional damage, which, you know, you see someone doing something, you know it's intentional. If not, you know, that might be a little bit harder to tell, but that is what that is for, and also the monitoring to keep kids on task. So yes, we're providing the Chromebook, but this is to cover any sort of damages to that. And in turn, we are getting insurance to help get those all repaired. Now,
right.
This is only including the ones in grades 4 through 12 that are going ahead. This isn't for all K through 12 students. So we still have devices that we're using in all of those younger grade levels that we're not charging anything for. This is for the protection of those going back and forth on the school. So.
Okay.
The other thing I just wanted to give you a little bit of update on, I know we had talked about hiring some extra help in the technology department, kind of following along with what Dana was saying about the repairs and such. We are looking through NeoNet to try to contract someone. They would do the actual hiring, but they would come here and work on our schedule, our hours, follow our standards and those sorts of things. We interviewed two candidates and have offered the position to one of them, and we're waiting to hear back. So that's kind of where we are with that. We're very hopeful that we will get someone in
that will help us, give us support, and especially with this new initiative that we have coming. So that's where we are with that, and I'll let you know as soon as we get an answer on that. This time of year, we're working a lot on end-of-year things, so teachers closing out their Google classrooms, especially with all of the device shifting that we'll have with the Chromebooks, moving from middle school and high school mostly, but also from fourth grade, pulling those out. All of those need re-inventoried, relabeled, and then moved to other buildings and other grade levels. So right now, we're working a lot on what that looks like, what that shift looks like, making sure that teachers are taking account of all of the devices that are in there, if there's any issues, putting in tickets so we can make sure all of that is repaired, because we don't want to turn around and find out that it was supposed to have a card of 32 and it only has, you know, 30 or something like that, or something needs repaired. We're working on that right now, along with any other closeout items for the end of the year. The Tech Advisory Committee will be meeting Tuesday the 17th, and that's where we will talk a little bit more about what classrooms will be getting those shifted devices. So that's all I have for today.
Thank you. Instruction.
Okay, so before we get to your questions, we are, and it's on the board agenda, we are approving several committee members to do what's called an RTFI, which is a reading tiered fidelity inventory, which we will be doing in conjunction with SST8, State Support Team 8. Basically what it is you look at your reading model, because with the dyslexia updates, we have to move to what's called a structured literacy approach. So basically what we're going to do is they're going to ask teachers questions, and they're going to be doing a series of numbers holding up, rating where they feel our program currently is, because next year we are going to look at doing a reading adoption. So we kind of want to have the groundwork laid for what we need in moving forward with the new program. So the support, State Support Team 8 is going to help us do that. Basically what we're going to look at is, are we addressing the continuum of our student needs, grades K to 4, we're going to do the elementary. Are we using evidence-based practices that focus on those ideas of reading that are designed to improve our outcome for students? And how are we using our data, and what are we doing with it? So they're going to help us go through the process to kind of have an idea when we move to look at new materials, are these new materials going to meet the needs of our kids and our students and our teachers? So that's what the RTFI is. We're going to use Title II funds to pay for that, so it's going to come out of federal funds, professional development. The April version of the Dyslexia Guidebook was approved by the committee. Now it just has to go before the State Board of Education, which currently we know that the State Board is really prioritizing hiring a new superintendent. So hopefully that will get some traction. The most recent version of the guidebook gave some clarity in what is the law and what is best practices for schools to follow. We do not have a list of Tier 1 screeners yet, still waiting on that. But we do know that teachers will be required to do those 18 hours of professional development. There was no wavering on that. They're including specialist teachers, for instance, your math, your music, your art, and your PE teachers will also have to do professional development, but they don't have to do the full 18 hours. They will do a lesser amount. I think they're suggesting probably 6 hours for those teachers. So that's pretty much what I have.
Quick question about that.
Yeah.
So we have 14 days of school left, and mm-hmm. we're just like other schools. Do you think they're going to let us know in the summer that this is happening? Or I know there's still a chance that we're backing this off, maybe, which is actually what I think could happen.
It could happen. I don't necessarily know what they're going to do, because they still don't have the list of approved screeners. They're telling us we could potentially get that in early June. So schools are going to have to scramble, because whatever those screeners are, if the school doesn't already have them, we're going to have to purchase them. Then we're going to have to look at doing some training on how to administer them by the teachers. And we're probably looking at a team to do that, to alleviate the stresses on the teachers. We're looking at maybe a team of our Title I teachers, myself, Mrs. Ebner, a couple of different individuals being trained on this, going in. And if you take it kind of like a tag team approach, you can knock out the number of classrooms, so it might not take nearly as long, considering we're going to have to do this 3 times a year for our first through third graders. Kindergartners, we can't even screen them until after January. That is what the law says. So it's a lot of work that's going to be involved in that. So there could be, I would love for them to give us a little bit of leeway, but I don't know. depends on how fast the state board votes on the procedure or the handbook, and we go.
We need trainers who have a CDL.
Put them on the bus.
Boom.
It's just a lot to try to process as it starts, so. Okay, so hopefully I was able to answer your questions via email. I don't know if you have any other questions or if there's anything you wanted to discuss with the math.
Yeah, no, so I started looking over the weekend, shared my findings this morning, and they seemed to match up exactly with what you were told.
Okay.
I didn't know what, you know, there were like, there was a huge range of concerns that the curriculum could have been flagged for, right? And that all just happened right at the end of April and the beginning of May. So that's why I said, hey, does anybody know what's going on? I felt a lot better once I was able to dig more. They kind of confirmed what I had found. I don't know if anyone else has any concerns over that, but you know, a little bit of supplemental material that has SEL concepts in it doesn't seem shocking or overly concerning.
So I brought two things to show you. One was when I talked about the front matter of the book, what is in the teacher's edition. So I only brought one copy, I'm sorry. This is basically what they refer to, and that's the math musicals. And then this is just a continuation up. So I did actually bring a copy of a math musical with me. It does not have any social emotional questions in the math musical. That is a component that the teachers, if they wanted to ask questions, they could. They don't have to. That is completely supplemental. It is not in the core instruction within the chapter, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. So that's what it is.
Okay.
But
I appreciate you going through that. I know that was kind of a, you know, in the 11th hour to get a big question.
She did finally get back to me.
Then, you know, we had to, but.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you have any more questions, I have a pile of material.
So I want to say thanks to both of you. Like, the agreement form is so well done, but I hope the board also looks at the technology website. I mean, Angie's has a department of two. We all know she has Michael Pettit too, who's amazing. But this website, it was just like the remote learning website that you guys constructed. I was really proud of that from a district standpoint. So well done. And Amy, thank you for all of your work on this and for leading the math textbook adoption. It's big. We had 29 of our math teachers engaged in that this year. And you know, when you have 29 people collaborating, you have different thoughts about what should happen. And so you help them all get on the same page. And I know Steve did as well.
They did the majority of it. I facilitated, but they, when they came down to the final vote, you know, it was overwhelmingly 29-1.
Well, that's what leaders do.
That's great.
Yeah,
they facilitate. So thanks to both of you for your work.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
She made sure she got that in?
Yes.
Yeah, of course I got that in there.
Okay, so anything else for technology and instruction from the group?
Okay. I'll just mention this. Sorry. U.S. News and World Report did name Norton High School. It won a Best High School Award. It's top 40%. You know, I think the board and I think the teachers and Ryan would all like to see a top 30 or a top 20 wherever we go, but they only recognize nationally a certain amount of high schools, and Norton High School was one of those. We earned that a couple of years ago at the state and national level, and that was announced last week as well.
And what was that again?
It's U.S. News and World Report Best High Schools. They're different lists. I mean, there are some that are, you know, top 1%, and Amy, are they, I don't know, gold schools? There's different colors. I think there's a silver award.
Yeah.
There's a bronze, that type of thing. So that's what it is. But it's a great honor for a high school to be on the list. And every high school that's on that list probably wants to keep moving in a better direction, just like ours. You know, someone who's number 11, they want to get to the top 10. And so, you know, I know Ryan and his team will continue to work at that. But I wanted to make sure from an instruction standpoint that the board was aware of that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Operations?
I had just follow-up questions from the last time. Dana, I don't know if you're able to elaborate any more than the email response from today, but those were the only items that I had
okay
on my agenda.
Yeah, Steph, Keith, and I, after we had some operations meetings, and I know our board meetings, we've talked about air in the buildings, we've talked about it with our teachers and administrative team. We worked really hard to see if the district could do it with these buildings. And, you know, we're looking at some cost figures for rental, for instance, that are just, they're too much. I wouldn't feel good about recommending that to the board. And so we've looked at three different options, and I love that approach, including the idea of just some air movement, curtains, some other things. So I did actually get a curtain company today that's done some work in schools. And so I will reach out to them tomorrow. We just want things to be better for our teachers and our kids during the really hot days. But the air conditioning became quite complex for Norton High School, just in terms of the electricity and the ventilation and the emptying of water. It was, it seemed pretty simple when Steph and I started it. What did I say?
High school.
No, they don't need it.
Yeah.
We know what you meant.
Yeah. Listen to what I mean, not what I say. So those three buildings, and it really began to get complex. We're talking about, I won't say taking out a window, but we'd have to take out a window and put in a screen that allows ventilation in all these rooms. And then we talked about our custodians emptying water, the teachers emptying the hydration, like, and additional electricity that we needed. And it, we worked really, really hard to see if we can do it. I don't think that we can, to be honest. So we have to look at some other ways to help our district, which we'll do. Okay. The shared driveway, it is Norton City Schools. I haven't heard back from, I talked to Summit County Public Library. He said, I got to talk to my boss. And I haven't heard from him or Dan.
This is in regards to
this is the shared driveway, yep. Driveway with Grace and Library. And it's actually Norton City Schools property. So I don't know if Grace and the library.
I can't believe we don't have an agreement on that.
They temporarily filled some holes.
Right, yeah. Because it's a driveway. Like, how did we end up owning the driveway?
Because I think we built the driveway back to the ball fields.
I think we gave the property to the library.
We gave the property. That was our property, yes.
Oh, at one point, okay.
Yeah. Well, hey, if they don't want to pitch in, I guess they can put their own in, right?
Well, I mean, it would seem that maybe we could look at reaching some sort of agreement that we would maintain it from the edge of Grace Church's parking lot back to the ball field.
Yeah.
And then maybe the library and the church maintain the front. I mean,
I don't think they are going to, quite frankly, I don't think they're going to ask us for anything.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that's part of it. I think it was a good phone call. They didn't want to do anything if it wasn't theirs. And if it wasn't theirs, what were they allowed to do? That's why they reached out. I fully expect Grace and the library to talk about how they're going to handle it. I mean, Grace even announced, certainly we use it more than anyone. You know, that's what Pastor Dan said to me. So this wasn't a request for anything other than whose is it? And we think it's ours.
Yeah, and they're still in real preliminary. The church hasn't even figured out what they want to do, not in regards to the driveway, but resurfacing, build structure, because they have a structure that they tore down.
Right.
That was, so that may take precedence. So it's just the beginning conversation.
Gotcha. So. All right.
That's nice then.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. And we also talked as operations. And I know Keith now has an administrative assistant. It's one of the way from an operations standpoint that we wanted to check turnaround time on work orders and work requests. And I don't know if, I didn't ask Steph today, we were both busy, if Pam has provided any feedback. Is she getting involved in work orders and that type of thing?
I don't know if she's done the work orders yet, but she's doing the ordering. She's a lot with substitutes. That's,
would
she do spend 2 days, I think, doing nothing but dealing with substitutes? Summer work.
Teachers?
No,
custodians.
Custodial. Oh.
Who's going to work in the summer? Who's getting what job? People are calling off. She's finding subs for him. It's taken a lot off his plate that he doesn't have to deal with. But
so that's part of that measurement. And I just talked about the road. The other item that I wanted to share with the board is in June, Judy has been waiting to see if there was going to be any federal relief for food again, and it looks like there will not. And much like other local districts, we're going to see a small price increase. Our parents are going to see that. So I sent that to you a couple weeks ago. The mistake that I made was not following through and putting it on the board agenda. So I'm going to recommend that to the board in June. But our building principals need to get that information out to our families.
So just so I understand, so there's a change here from providing free lunches from everyone, and that's because of federal money, or that's because of a change in our district status?
No. The federal government funded the last 2 years of student lunches. Right. And I think nationally,
regardless,
the intent was that that was going to happen again. And I think a price increase locally has been on the table for a while. And then when this surfaced, they didn't need to. And it's sort of a time when it's needed to happen. So because there has been a loss of some money in this for all the locals. And the prices that I gave to you, you can see locally, were still really low compared to some other districts. So,
okay. Thank you.
That'll be in June. And then we have a Norton primary sign. I've been working with Barry Stokes. I say working because we've been talking about it. Barry's son, that was an Eagle Scout project for him. And we removed a portion of the sign. I can't remember why we removed it.
Because it said primary and high school.
Okay.
So it needs to be primary and middle school.
Okay. So Barry, of course, is interested in preserving that legacy. Steph and I have worked on all new signage coming into the old stadium way and coming in the primary way that matches some other stuff. Barry is really interested in maintaining the legacy of his son, which we should. So that will be... I sent that to operations. I sent that to Lewis and Patrick to let them know about that.
Yeah, he's brought that up multiple times to me. Like, if there's anything that needs to be done, he'll do it.
Yeah.
So
he has the old one.
Okay.
He has the old one. So if you need to see what
he has, the old sign.
He has the I took it to him. The part that says primary and high school. Yeah, we took it off, and then I took it to his house, and so he has it. So if you need it for, style or whatever.
All right. And then Patrick also mentioned something about the logos on the Norton Transportation vehicles.
Yeah.
So our transportation department does all of that. That really doesn't come out of Keith's office. So Keith will talk to Pauletta about that and see what that would take.
Okay.
We have a bunch of those Norton stickers.
We used to have magnets and different things.
Yeah.
I think Paul always
wanted them. What was not marked? Because typically all of our vehicles are marked.
Yeah, the new pickup truck, and I think Keith mentioned maybe some...
A masonry one, maybe.
Yeah, we have a red pickup truck that's not marked.
Right.
Yeah.
And when we would get them, Paul always got them and just did it, and it was handled, and nobody's thought about it.
I think in Keith's world, he's been doing this for a while. Sometimes he would run into being in a different city doing something. And then he would get some calls like, why are they up in Twinsburg? Why is a Norton worker, what's he doing up in Twinsburg today? So I don't know if that is likely to happen, but that has surfaced in his world. So
have you talked any more about filling this ditch in with a pipe over by Springtime Flowers?
We haven't.
Okay.
No.
All right.
I know that... I think Keith has spoken with her about that. I haven't talked to Keith about it in a while. Have you?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Well, she was talking about putting a pipe in and covering up. Number one, it would be a lot easier for us to mow, but there's a huge mosquito problem there with it and that kind of thing. So
we did something for that property over there, but it wasn't that.
Okay.
All right, that's all I have.
Okay. Finance?
I have my forecast. I sent you guys copies of it. It doesn't look as good as the one in November, but it certainly looks better than the original one that we started with a couple weeks ago. So excited about that part of it, but not that it's where it is in November. Our property tax valuations, as we talked about in November, have gone up 17%, and our collections this year then ended up being $78,000 higher than what we had originally anticipated. We still have new construction phased in our valuations. So for each $1 million in new construction, it's $10,000 in revenue. So eventually that will start catching up as those new houses go up. Our tangible personal property tax, that's the pipeline, that's the big one. Our collections this year were $34,000 higher than what we thought they would be. The pipeline, as we've talked about, filed the appeal for 62% of their value to be reduced 62% down to 38%. They're currently paying 47%, so we're setting that extra, it's about $62,000 a year, we're setting that aside, you see it at the bottom of the forecast. Because if we would lose the appeal, then we would have to repay the money, so it's not mixed in our forecast, we're setting the money aside in case we have to pay that back. Our income tax is finally totally 100% phased in, all collections. This year it was a little bit higher in collections, it was catch up for people who didn't pay it in a couple of years. And the state of Ohio was sending out a lot of delinquency notices and telling people they had to pay it. So we saw a little bit more there. Our original estimate for this time was going to be $1.5 million, and we've collected $1.8. So it certainly has increased more than we had anticipated. Statewide income has increased 6%, and state collections for taxes are up 15% over last year. So that's looking like a good option there, and I just have it increasing 3% for future years, knowing that we're going to have new people moving into our district in the homes that we're building, but I don't really have a good way to estimate what that's going to be, so we know that's on the back burner, and it can only increase at this point.
So, Steph, I'm sorry. So the move from 1.5 to the 1.5 was predicted, it's 1.8. That only means that we've had more people in district with incomes and maybe higher incomes that's contributing.
Correct.
Okay.
Based on our original estimate when we went to the levy or went to the ballot.
In 2018.
Were assuming it was going to be about 1.5% for this year and it was at 1.8.
Okay.
And
thank you.
Is that the 1.030 line?
1.03, yes.
Okay.
Thank you. State aid. Total this year, it's $11.9 million. And if you look at last year, it was between the two line items. It's 11.03 and 04 and 45.
Where's state aid?
Restricted and unrestricted.
What number is that?
11.04 and 11.045.
11?
One. I'm sorry, I'm putting an extra one on it. One, it's at the top.
Oh, okay. At the top? Gotcha.
Fourth line down.
Okay.
Unrestricted and restricted.
Okay.
Last year we had 7.6 and $300,000. This year it's $11 million and then an additional $900,000. Collectively it's $11.9 million. That looks really large, but that's because our $3 million in open enrollment is now in that number, which normally was two line items below there. So it's moved up. And then, so what we're doing now is all kids are being funded where they reside versus the district used to get the money and then we would send it to Barberton, or Barberton would get the money and send it to us, or we'd get the money and send it to the community schools. Now, kids are just funded where they're at. So there was a huge change in this year. It's really hard to look back and say, oh, we had this much, now we have this much. But that's what they're doing now, is funding all of the kids where they reside versus the other direction.
And does that mean the money's in your hands quicker also? Or
not really? Not really. It was a pretty good, it would happen every payment that we received from them. It's kind of silly because it would go to them and then it would come to us based on their valuations and not our valuations. And so it's all consistent now. The state has developed a formula that's based on the cost to educate a student statewide. And then the payment is based on the district's capacity to pay. And that is based on what valuations are and then the federal adjusted gross income. So put those together, there's a formula that take those numbers and decide what the district locally can pay to educate the children. For us, the state's paying a little over 50%. They pay $3,845 per student. We're expected to come up with the rest of it. We've talked, Dana and I have talked about this before. It's a two-year formula. This is the first year of it. We know it's in law for the second year, but it doesn't go any further than that at this point. For my forecast, I've assumed it's going forward because I have nothing else to base it on. There's no reason to go back to the old one, and there's nothing else to base it on. So I have the formula in here moving forward. We'll start hearing a lot about that next year, and it will probably come down again to the 11th hour. So it will be, you know, the end of June next summer when we're trying to figure out what's happening, probably moving forward. I'm sure we'll hear bits and pieces of it, but we don't really know yet. The next line item is property tax allocation. That is simply the homestead and rollback that you see on your taxes, the reduction. It's for owner-occupied homes, and it's for elderly or people who are on assistance that the government picks up, or the state of Ohio picks up a percentage of their income tax. So that's it's pretty consistent moving forward. And then the all other revenues, if you look at last year, we had $5.2 million, and this year we only have about $2 million. That's that difference of $3 million for open enrollment that was paid in that line item, and now it's paid under the unrestricted grants. The other amounts in other is that's where we have our TIF payments for all the little developments that have happened here, the improvements to the buildings. Our pay to play is in there, and our reimbursement for Medicaid is in there. Moving down to expenditures, line 3.01, personnel. We are down $115,000 than what we thought we would spend when we did this in November, and that is almost 100% lack of substitutes. We didn't have substitutes this year. We haven't paid substitutes, and that was the savings on our bottom line. Next year, it looks like there's a large jump. It's not. It is a large jump, but it's not. We have new staffing. I shouldn't say that. There's also a large jump because next year there's a 27 pay period. From July 1st through June 30th, there's 27 pays. So that takes a hit in that fiscal year. It's an extra payroll that we have to account for. And then if you go forward to fiscal year 25, which is 1, 2, 3, 4 columns over, almost to the last, there's a large increase in our payroll then, because that's when the ESSER funds are running out, and those positions that we're paying out of ESSER funds are going to come back into general fund. There's, I think, two that were just for the 3 years. Do you remember that, Amy?
It was
a literacy.
We did the literacy tutor at third grade. She was 3 years using the ESSER funds, and we were using those to offset the salary for the credit recovery program.
Right, but that's
but then
to
we were
stay. Oh, the other one was the custodian.
Part, yes.
The extra custodian that was going to just be a 3 years and out. So that's why fiscal year 25 moves up significantly. And then also in next year are the new positions that we've talked about. That's all based on student needs. Our health benefits, which is the line below that, retirement benefits, we had expected an increase of 6% for our health insurance. It's only 4.6% for the next year. I have 6% moving forward for each year. That are, according to our healthcare consultant, that's a good line to look at, or a good amount to look at. And then also in fiscal year 25, it jumps because of the ESSER funds running out, and the extra money will be absorbed into general fund. Purchase service line item, that also looks like a big change from last year, because that's where we paid out open enrollment and we paid out community schools. That no longer happens. That's all moved up into that top line item, the unrestricted money. So if you're looking at last year compared to this year, there's a decrease because of that. Moving forward, we've increased a little bit due for some stuff to go with specific student needs for their health care or OTPT type things like that. Supplies, that's just kind of what it sounds like. Well, we don't have textbooks in there, but that's where textbooks would be spent from. It's just the supplies we buy for the building, the garage, the custodial supplies. It's about $90,000 less than what we had anticipated to spend this year. I thought that with the kids being back in the building that they would be spending a lot more, and they don't seem to be. Capital, there's a larger increase this year of $60,000. A big chunk of that is to pay for the teacher prep classroom furniture because we have to use our vocational funds, which is general fund money, but it has to come out of capital. Usually we keep that right around $10,000 because we have PI money, but this needs to be spent out of that. And then there's also another expenditure we made in there that we were waiting on the safety grant that we would hope that we would get, that we can, it's easier to back money back into general fund versus our PI fund or one of those. So I have spent it out of here. Hopefully we'll get that grant. It keeps saying spring. It's spring.
Close to summer.
Yeah, not much more that we can do there. Our transfers out, which skips down to line 5.02, 5.01, I'm sorry. That jumps up, well, it's not a large jump from last year, but that is for our athletic uniforms and what we're doing with athletics, the commitment we put there. And then we talked about our budget reserves of the $62,000 for the Nexus pipeline. So ultimately, that's where we're at. With adding 5 new positions, I'm really happy with how it looks. And the ESSER coming back in, but we just have to keep our, pay attention to line item 6.01. That shows us hit deficit spending next year and then moving forward. So that's what we have to watch when we start spending more than what we're bringing in.
I just have a question then on the six. You said six hires, that's all special ed?
Five of the six.
Yeah.
One was the teacher prep academy.
The vocational,
because we're replacing.
Yes. So technically that's the position, yes.
Right, we have a new hire to replace him. Okay.
Thanks for your work on that stuff.
Yep.
Sure.
Thank you.
That's a lot.
It gets confusing when I start rattling off all those numbers.
All right, and with policy, we have we got to approve them. Yeah, second reading of 16 policies. I know that, Dana, you want to talk about the one.
Yeah, there's just two that I would ask the board to consider throughout the summer before the school year starts next year. Just take a look at our anaphylactic shock policy. There's a little snippet in there that
it's not on here.
Right.
Yeah, that Nurse Teen is uncomfortable with that.
EpiPen.
Basically says school personnel may not use it outside of school hours. So she's questioning a bus trip, an extracurricular activity, a sporting event. So I'll do some more work for the board. I just want you to know that it's coming. And then the other one was, you know, the district, within the last 5 years, we've adopted both potential threat form, which is an assessment of a student who's struggling and whether or not they're posing a threat to the school district, and a suicide assessment form. And one of our, we have some really strong people from Red Oak right now, and one at our high school met with me and talked about our suicide assessment form, which we adopted about 3 or 4 years ago, and she thought that that form was missing one key thing, and it was based on triggers for these students. So I will get that policy to the board and ask you to consider just, it's a slight change in our current, we have policies in place for both of these. I would ask the board to take a look at them and consider those changes for next year before kids get back to school here.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
All right, that concludes the board business. I would like to have a motion to move into executive session to discuss the employment of personnel.
So moved.
Second.
Can you please call the roll?
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Statz?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Weber?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.